Good morning and welcome to our Good Friday special service. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes. And just be aware, whether you are sitting or lying down, of what it is that is physically supporting you. But ultimately we know that always underneath are the everlasting arms of the Father. And bring your attention to the breath as we do a deepening in the awareness of this Good Friday message. As we take time to reflect on this Holy Week and the esoteric and metaphysical teachings behind it. As always, as we are going inward, I'd like to invite you to bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. We are setting the intention this morning to be truly open, to be truly connected to the source of all that is this Good Friday. And as always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we prepare ourselves by taking the next 3 deep breaths, let us be truly cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of God, the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm. Extend the stomach. Take in the energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold, gently, slowly, release. And as we take the second breath in, be focused on the air entering in through your nostrils as it enters and flows down into the lungs. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. And for the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. So we are going to reflect on this Holy Week. And we will conclude with the meditation of the last 7 statements that Jesus said. So we begin with Lazarus raising Saturday. Jesus had delayed from going to Lazarus immediately because he wanted to wait until Lazarus was dead so that he, Jesus, could prove his divinity to his disciples once and for all. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. This is Martha saying to Jesus, and Jesus saying unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, for thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. As we reflect on this teaching, it is a reminder that even if in our small egoic minds we think it is too late for God, Jesus reminds us, even now we can trust that God's time is always on time for whatever it is we are praying and affirming. We are required to raise our consciousness, to raise our awareness, to raise our belief, to raise our trust, to accept and give thanks for whatever it is that we are praying, requesting, desiring, or asking for. There was a deliberateness in the delay by Jesus to prove that there was nothing beyond the capability of God to do, even to raise that person who had been dead for 4 days. We look at whatever our condition, situation, or problem is and think of it as difficult or hard or beyond the ability of God. This Holy Week, starting with Saturday, with Lazarus raising, Jesus demonstrated, and it was not his first demonstration, of being able to call forth and raise that which is dead. So the invitation this Good Friday is to remind yourself that anything and everything that you have considered or thought of as hard, challenging, problematic, difficult, and even perhaps dead can be called forth back into existence as you recognize the resurrecting power of God right where you are. Jesus commanded that the stone be rolled away and called for. He said, Arise, come out. We are invited to call forth that which has been asleep in our subconscious, that which has been entombed, that which has been buried in our subconscious, that talent, that thing, that novel that we've been meaning to write, that we've been meaning to create, that we've been meaning to do, that improvement, that health commitment. It's time to allow it to come out of the tomb that has been buried deep in your subconscious, that your egoic nature has told you it's not time, you're not ready, or whatever the excuse. The message for Saturday is truly a reminder of the infallibility of God. We have Palm Sunday. And as we spoke about that briefly last week, well, I will speak briefly about it today. Jesus sends 2 apostles to find the colt, the donkey, for him to arrive in Jerusalem. The donkey represents meekness and stubbornness and persistency and endurance. So again, Jesus takes dominion over his thoughts, over those weak thoughts, those denying thoughts, those persistent, stubborn thoughts, those cowardly thoughts, by riding on the donkey. Again, the invitation is for us to allow our Christ consciousness to dominate our animal, lower self, physical self, lower nature. We know that the people laid palms, and palms signifies unlimited strength. So the road that Jesus was traversing with the palms underneath the donkey's hoofs was truly an invitation for him to be strengthened as he was moving forward to the ordeal that was awaiting him. I reminded you last week that Pontius Pilate entered from the opposite direction in all the pomp and glory with his steed and the centurions and the weapons. We are always invited to be humble, to enter as Jesus did with love and peace and compassion. We then have the fig tree cursing and table overturning Monday. The text says early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself in the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive what you have asked for in prayer." Here again, Jesus is teaching and reminding the disciples and us the power of word and faith. We are withering the very dreams, the very desires in our lives and the life we want for ourselves, for we are sometimes unconsciously cursing the very thing that we want because in our mind or opinion it is not happening as quickly enough or in the way we thought or whatever the reason. The power that is in the word, in the vibration of the word, that influences you and goes and ripples out into the universe, into the field, is creating for you both constructively and destructively. If what is happening in your life is a reflection of what is happening in your consciousness, and if it is not in alignment with what you say you want, then you know that you are unconsciously cursing yourself. Jesus was very clear when he said, if you believe, you will receive. Jesus goes to the temple. It's says, after Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying there. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Once the temple was cleared, the blind and the lame came to him, and he cured them. The cleansing of the temple represents Jesus cleansing the temple of his consciousness. And then he was free to heal, free to express the power of the divine within. This is an invitation for us too to cleanse and purify our mind, to release and deny the erroneous thinking, to release the limiting beliefs that we have held on to for too long. In Matthew 21:23, it says, Jesus came to the temple, and the high priest and the elders came up to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? Here the message is that inner authority is not accountable to anything or anyone outside of us. Remember that you are one with God, and you are God's. You are children of the Most High. And just as Jesus did not give them an answer, we too need to remember that we are the divine inheritors, joint heirs with Christ, and that our inner authority is from the Holy of Holies, the sacred, the divine Mother, Father, God. Tuesday, I call it last-ditch parables. And it says, on Tuesday, Jesus again, teaching using parables of the kingdom of heaven. He has been teaching parables for some time to his disciples and to the masses. For those who have eyes, that they may see, and those that have ears, that they may hear. But if we look around at the many ways that the message of love is presented, we can see that it is given in every which way possible. He taught about the parable of the two sons. The one who did as the father asked, albeit late and reluctantly. The parable of the wedding feast, the guests that didn't show up, and he went out into the streets and sent the host sent the servants out to get anyone that they could find. But one guest turned up and wasn't dressed appropriately and was thrown out. So whilst many may come, not everyone is chosen. He shared the parable of the tenants, the vineyard tenants who killed the son. Again, teachings that you have to be ready for the teachings and the message. The parable of the 10 virgins. I remind you to be prepared and ready. And then the parable of the talents. The servants who got the 10, the 5, and the 1. The reminder that to whoever has, more will be given, and they will have abundance. And for those that have not, even what they have will be taken away. This is a reminder that as we have an understanding and awareness in consciousness and keep adding to it, it will grow. But if we only practice this truth occasionally, haphazardly, even that which we think we have attained will be dispersed. We then have Betrayal Wednesday. It's on Wednesday that Judas makes the offering to the high priest to betray Jesus. The agreement was made and Judas waits for the opportunity to turn Jesus over to the authorities. And as we recall, as we studied the 12 disciples and how they represent as the 12 faculties within man, Judas is the life force. He represents the unredeemed life force, and he also typifies that which in humanity, although it has caught the higher vision, still resorts to low-natured ways of being. And it is the thing about the spiritual journey, the spiritual path. Jesus was very clear when he said, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. You can't pretend to be on the spiritual journey and still want to try and be the old way of being, trying your old scams or tricks or whatever it is. That is the Judas faculty in you predominantly residing. We need to stay true to our Christ nature, our Christ consciousness. We have the feet washing, the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday. It says in the text, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no part of me. We know that he then, after having washed their feet, had the Last Supper with them. We have shared before how bread represents the divine ideas and wine, the circulation of spiritual ideas, which as we imbibe and embody, we allow them to circulate within us unhindered. When Jesus said, this is my body, it isn't as in some traditions, the flesh that he was talking about, but it's a spiritual idea. The breaking of the bread was stirring it up into action. So that these divine ideas, once broken, can be appropriated as the degrees of which man can take them in and assimilate them. It's allowing for each to partake according to his understanding, his ability, his capacity. The wine, symbolized with his blood, as he said, is the life, is the circulation of divine ideas. Just as our own bodies circulate blood, taking the oxygen around to give sustenance to our cells, the circulation of spiritual ideas renew us, brings us the abundant, unlimited life. That is God, that is Spirit, that is right where we are. We are to partake of the divine substance and the divine life so that it becomes part of our consciousness. So that when we say to the mountain, move, we do not doubt. When we are waiting upon the Lord, we are having strength and emboldened and have faith and trust. That when we pray, we are believing. It isn't taking bread and grape juice and thinking we are eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. We need to understand the symbology of what he was showing. We know that always he taught in parables because there was a deeper meaning to what he was doing. Truly, my beloved, this Maundy Thursday was an invitation to embody the divine substance, the divine ideas, and make it a part of us. We know that he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane taking Peter, John, and James, representing faith, love, and wisdom. And in the time of need that he required their support to watch and pray, they fell asleep. Three times he went and came back and found them sleeping, until Judas arrives and betrays him. We know that he was taken to the council where the Sanhedrin were accusing him, and yet he remained silent through it all. We come to the galling Good Friday, when Jesus, with his experience in Pontius Pilate, has a very deep and symbolic meaning for us. We know that Pontius Pilate symbolizes the external circumstances that at times seem to be overwhelming. And always, like Pilate, Pilate thinks he has power over Jesus. And we feel sometimes that the circumstances or situations that are overwhelming us has the power over us. But when we come back into alignment of our Christ presence that resides within us, we know that we are greater than the condition, the circumstance, or whatever it is, as Jesus demonstrated. It says, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him, neither did Herod. But they cried out altogether, away with this man, and released to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. A third time, he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. One thief, we recall, asked Jesus that he should take him with him as he takes his seat in paradise. He says, I know I deserve what I'm getting because of what I've done, and I've done a lot of negative things. However, you don't deserve this. He was identifying with the things from his past that he had created, that he had done. And then the other thief said, what is going to happen to us after this experience? This thief represents what's lost in the future. Jesus is there between the past and the future. He represents the now, the I am, the present tense God. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise and heaven are not places but states of consciousness, states of awareness. It is within our own minds and hearts. The cross, as we've shared on previous occasions, is the invitation to cross out the erroneous thoughts and beliefs that we have been holding. And even though oftentimes we are dragged into the past or we are worrying about the future, it is what we are holding in consciousness in the present moment, in the now, that matters. In order to grow this spiritual journey, to expand in awareness and consciousness, we must cross out the little individual personality that sees separation and division and allow ourselves to resurrect into the unity and the unifying awareness of oneness. The divine man cannot die. It is the limitations of the personal mind that dies. The Christ mind is released into undimmed clarity. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council and a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. They then returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. For us, the tomb represents a high state of consciousness that is within us and with which we can improve ourselves, our attitudes, our character. We can grow into a broader and expanded awareness and understanding, and we can increase our vitality and substance. When we are resting in God, we are accumulating this time the strength and the power for the greater demonstration that was to follow in the resurrection. My beloved, this Holy Week reflection is an invitation as we are in community this Good Friday morning that to allow our hearts to remain open and to remember that we are under the authority of Spirit, which is individualized within each and every one of us. That we do not have to give our authority to outer circumstances, appearances, or conditions. But we are to take the example of Jesus as he demonstrated thoroughly throughout this Holy Week, so that we truly can resurrect the Christ consciousness, the Christ mind within us. And so I'd like us to reflect now for our meditation on the seven statements that he made whilst he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take a moment and affirm. Beloved Mother, Father, God, may I forgive all whom I believe have hurt, harmed, or wronged me in any way. May I take every opportunity to forgive others and myself. May I not let the sun set on my anger and miss the opportunity to forgive and let go. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Affirm, Divine Beloved, you who are present with us, your grace which is our sufficiency in all things is ever available in the now, in this present moment. And we remove and release the blocks of doubt and fear to live faith-filled right here, right now. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. Let us affirm. Mother, Father, God, may we remember our oneness with you and with each other, irregardless of race, creed, nationality, gender, or sexual orientation. May we live and appreciate all as members of the one race, the human race. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us affirm. Divine Beloved, in moments or times of distress, may I know that I am never or can ever be separated from your Spirit or your goodness. I thirst. Let us affirm. Mother, Father, God, may we remember, no matter how desperate our situation may be, we should always remember that Jesus said that we must ask so that we might receive. So let us not think anything is hopeless or beyond your ability to deliver. It is finished. Let us affirm, Divine Beloved, let us remember to embrace new phases of our life with a deeper faith that we've acquired from those things learned and have released those experiences that are now finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Let us affirm, Mother, Father, God, I know I am not my body or personality, but I am of your spirit. May I remember this unchanging truth and any and every time I think I am less than or not enough. May we continuously rise in consciousness and in conscious union with you as we crucify all that no longer serves us, all that is in alignment with your spirit. May we entomb any negativity or shortcomings so that we can resurrect with a greater awareness of who we are and whose we are as sons and daughter of the Most High God. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. My beloveds, as we've come to the end of our Good Friday morning reflection, my closing benediction is entitled The Things He Carried by Malcolm Gwet. The dark nails pierced him and the sky turns black. We watch him as he labors to draw breath. He takes our breath away and gives it back. Return it to its birth through his slow death. We hear him struggle, breathing through the pain. Who once breathed out his spirit on the deep? Who formed us when he mixed the dust with rain and drew us into consciousness from sleep? His spirit and his life he breathes in all, mantles his world in his one atmosphere. And now he comes to breathe beneath the pall of our pollutions, draw our injured air to cleanse it and renew. His final breath breathes and bears us through the gates of death. My closing song this morning is Jamie Lula, entitled Into Your Hands.
So into your
Into your hands. I wish you a very blessed Good Friday, and I look forward to joining you on Sunday, our Easter Sunday Soul Connection. Until, peace and blessings.